Hello and welcome to the Third Space Podcast, episode number 77, Magic Mike. It's not about what you think. In this episode, Daniel and I stick pretty much only to a superpowers and drawbacks segment. We haven't done one in a while, and this time we pick a level 2 superpowers and drawbacks, and we really hit it for all it's worth. This one takes up the whole episode, so I hope you enjoy superpowers and drawbacks. Take it away. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Slightly underslept, but oh, doing. I'm peppy, actually. I'm feeling peppy. I'm feeling good.
I love peppy so, Dan.
For an underslept guy, like, yeah. Like, have you ever heard that, like, you're actually going off of yesterday's sleep and not, like, or the night before's sleep? I've heard that as, like, a...
I've never heard that.
Folks tale, like, if you had a bad night's sleep, but... An old wives' tale. Like, I slept poorly, but I feel totally fine. An old folksy wives' tale.
Right.
And so, like, I didn't sleep well last night. And tonight I might sleep really well, but I'm going to be really miserable tomorrow, would be the theory, because it's the night before.
I don't buy it.
And, like, I slept fine Saturday, and I don't buy it either. But it like, often can justify why I feel alert when I got a poor night's sleep. That, like, it feels like I should not be alert.
Sometimes it feels like I get a really good night's sleep, and then when I wake up, I'm pretty drowsy still. But maybe that's just because my sleep was so deep and wonderful, and then the transition to being conscious again is, you know, pretty sudden.
Well, and drowsy, yeah. What portion of this REM cycle thing are you in? Like, have you seen these alarms that will, like, measure how much you're tossing and turning and claim to know what cycle you're in and then wake you up within a time frame? So that's the most gentle. Do you buy that? Do you feel that there's probably something to that?
I mean, there's definitely something to the, you know, the various sleep cycles. I don't know that we fully understand them, but there is something to that, so yeah, I'd be open
but
to
these, like,
I'd be open
these,
to
like,
that.
Fitbits and alarm systems, like, do you think that's, like, how accurately is it measuring that stuff? Like, how accurately do they even measure steps? Like, they seem to accurately measure that stuff, but, like, I don't know. I just don't know how much skepticism to exercise. Like, does it really know my heart rate really well?
I mean, some of the markers are easy to measure, like your heart rate is pretty easy to measure. If, you know, you're wearing something on your arm, you can detect the, I think how it works is it actually shines a laser or a UV light onto your veins, and it detects
that
the
green pulsing thing.
Right. Yeah. And it detects the movement of the vessel. So it actually is a really good measure of your heart rate. I think that's how it works. It's been a while since I looked at that. Other things like the sleep stuff. I'm a little more skeptical because, you know, that, it's usually measured from your phone or some device sitting on your nightstand. And that means what are the sensors that it has to work with? A speaker, like a microphone. And
some will say put it under your pillow if you want it to work well. So it's knowing your movement a little bit.
Yeah, so you would get some gyrometer stuff if you put it under your pillow, I guess. But, like, I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of room for interference and noise in there. Like, if you live in a noisy apartment, or, you know, you have a pet or something, I don't know why anyone would have a pet in their bedroom. That doesn't make any sense. But if you did have
very common,
if you lived like a disgusting animal, and you allowed pets in your bed,
amongst the animals,
right? And you allowed pets in your bedroom, then they could make noise, or you could have traffic outside your window or whatever. And it seems like that could easily interfere, and it could detect that as tossing and turning. And also, who's to say that movement in sleep directly correlates to one of the REM cycles? Like, I don't know.
What I don't get. It seems like you could be having a fine sleep and roll over.
Yes.
Like, it's not like you're, yeah, that seems plausible to me.
It seems plausible to me too. So, yeah, I think there's probably something worth it. There probably are sensors that you could, you know, engineer and attach to yourself and, and measure the sleep cycles? I mean, of course, they've done that stuff, but can you do it with your phone? I'm a little more skeptical on that.
Yeah, me too. I side with you.
Nice. Thanks. Appreciate that support.
How are you today?
I'm all right. I'm back to work. I've had 2 weeks of unusualness because I had a work trip 1 week, and so I was traveling. And then last week, I was kind of on a solo ski trip. And so that was an unusual week. And so now I'm like, you know, adjusting back to the work week, and my body is all beat up. So,
does it feel good to return to the norm?
Yes.
The stability and the predictability and all of that? Like, yes. Were you ready? Were you kind of like, oh, I can't wait to be in my bed, that unique, you know, return home after being gone for 2 weeks? That's got to be like pretty pleasant.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I absolutely was. I mean, I was in a big city for the last week skiing. It wasn't in some remote mountain town. And so like,
and you love big cities.
No,
right?
I don't. In fact, that's what I was just about to complain about. And you know very well that that's what I was about to do, because like, I just was immediately greeted with gridlock traffic, terrible roads and interstates and everything, rap music through my walls. It was just like coming back to everything that I hate. And it made me realize that, man, cities suck, and I don't want to live in one. Now, although if I had to push back against myself, I will say I got some good food, and that's something that, you know, that's the one positive to a city, is that there's a variety of food available.
And sports teams, you know?
Yeah, there's...
And concerts and cupcake shops. I feel like you have to be
certain
size city to have a cupcake. Yeah, that's true. You're like, hey, I'm not giving more than I will not yield. I don't know, maybe like a specialty wig shop. I feel like that wouldn't exist in a small town, you know?
That's true. It's a wig.
Yeah. you know, just the more specialty novelty shops, you know, you don't get those in the country kind of thing. So
yeah, I don't buy that stuff. So that doesn't bother me, and I don't care about sports or concerts, really. So
you basically need a city big enough to have a Chick-fil-A.
Yep.
And once you're the size of a city that will open up a Chick-fil-A, then you're good.
Right.
Which I feel like there's probably some pretty small towns with Chick-fil-A's. I'm guessing. I don't. Now that I think about it, I don't know. I don't know if like really small towns will still have a McDonald's, right? Sometimes the McDonald's is the sort of social hub of like a really tiny kind of rundown rural Georgia town. I've passed through plenty of those with like a gas station, a McDonald's, and like, you know, I mean, really, that not much else going on. But there won't be a Chick-fil-A there, so.
Yeah, I used to be a little bit pickier about what food I required in a place that I'm living, but I'm less so now because I cook more. And so really, you know, just give me the Chick-fil-A and maybe one other place that I can go to every now and then, and I'm all set. I'm needing cities less and less, and that feels pretty good. So,
do you think if you live somewhere without any restaurants, you just get more experimental and be like, I'm going to learn to cook Thai, or like really try and do some of these like Asian fusion
things? I do that already. I already do that.
Yeah, I guess you already do that.
Yeah, so I mean, would I get even more that way? Maybe a little bit. Like maybe I might try to replicate to the best of my ability a good Chick-fil-A sandwich. But
yeah,
I don't think
you'd look up the copycat recipe type stuff. Yeah,
I don't think it could be done, really. No one can do it like Chick-fil-A. But I would, you know, I would probably put a little bit more effort. And like really the difference, if I lived out in some rural area further out of town, then I would have to, you know, get a big freezer. And because right now I go to the grocery store every week and I don't freeze anything. And I make everything fresh. But if I lived, you know, further from a grocery store, I would have to do that. And that would be harder.
I don't see that as being completely off limits for you, though. If you found
it's not off limits.
Property, and it was like a beautiful view, and like maybe like mountainside by a lake, and it's affordable, and it's an incredible house, and all the things. But you know, you're 50 minutes from town or something.
Yeah, I would consider. That's within bounds. I would consider that, and then just come in and eat Chick-fil-A on Saturday.
Yeah. Fill up how many Chick-fil-A. You look at freezers and you're like,
how many Chick-fil-A's?
Like gallons. How many Chick-fil-A's does that translate? How many sandwiches can I fit in this freezer?
Yeah, that's how it would be.
So, what you got for me today?
Today, I think we could do a superpowers and drawbacks. It's been a little while since we've done one.
Yeah! Superpowers, drawbacks. I don't know. I feel like there should be a button we press where it has a...
No, we don't need a button because you do a jingle every time, and that makes it magical.
I don't plan on it. I think a jingle will go here, and it comes out organically.
You're just a jingle kind of guy.
Jingly.
All right, so just to refresh on the rules of superpowers and drawbacks, I present you with two potential superpowers that you can choose from. But in order to choose one of those, you also have to choose one of two drawbacks that I present to you. You can also choose to just walk away if you don't like the bargain. But that's really boring, and you would never do that, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'd like to see a chart of all my decisions and or revisit one day to see if I choose the same, make the same decision. Wouldn't it be a little bit of a letdown? It'd be satisfying to make the same decision and a little bit of a letdown to see I just chose something different.
Sometimes if I listen to an old episode and we do superpowers and drawbacks, I'm surprised by my answer and my reasoning. Occasionally I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
Good to know.
Good thought, Bennett.
Talk to myself more often, you know. Right. I should check in.
Yeah. All right. So, and the other gimmick with superpowers and drawbacks is they're on a scale from 1 to 10 in terms of potential power level. And the most interesting ones to me, you know, everyone talks about the 10 ones like mind reading and flying and invisibility and stuff. But it really gets interesting down at the bottom end of the scale, the ones and the twos. And so with this superpowers and drawbacks, we're at a level 2
on the scale of 1 to 10. I like the lower. I think I like the less, I don't want to say less interesting, just
they're not less interesting. Severe. They make you think about how they would impact your life in a different way. If you had to think about what you would do if you had, you know, the power to control people with your mind, well, that revolutionizes your entire life. But these level 1 and 2 ones, it doesn't entirely revolutionize your life, but it might affect it a little bit.
Right. And what could you do? What utility does it bring to the table?
Interesting. And it lets you factor the power or drawback in with all these other pieces of your life, like your budget or your sleep schedule or your relationships. Whereas if you have one of these superpowers, it would blow all that stuff out of the water, right?
Like, yeah, that's the thing. It blows it all up versus this, like, okay, how is it going to coincide with everything that already exists?
Right.
And it sort of demands that I zoom into, like you said, sleep schedule or a budget or something, whereas all the other ones, it's like, it's too profound of a shift. You're asking for me to take on a new identity, and these don't, so.
All right, so without further ado, the first superpower that you can potentially choose is called Magic Mike.
Oh, yeah?
And for this superpower, you receive a magical microwave. You can choose... Oh. What were you thinking?
I just thought I'd get like a six-pack instantly and a giant, you know...
Movie deal? No, instead, it's a magical microwave, and so you can choose, right now, any single meal, any meal you want, and subsequently, by typing in a certain code on the microwave, that meal will magically appear inside, freshly prepared, ready to eat. There are some caveats. No variations are allowed, so you can't do a burger with feta one time and Gouda another time, or whatever. It has to be the same meal. And the meal has to fit inside the microwave, and you can only do it once a day.
So it's a single meal I will have every time I'm locked in.
Yes.
Like you're not saying one day is pizza,
no.
One day is a burger.
A single meal.
I have to decide on my meal.
Yes.
Okay, I understand. And that meal could it be burger and fries?
It can be burger and fries. It can be a whole meal.
Are there limitations to side items that I would, I don't feel like I can just say a burger with a side of pizza and whatever. I feel like that's violating the spirit.
That is violating the spirit, I think.
So In my mind, I'll go like two sides probably.
Yeah,
or even like burger and fries is a meal. Like I feel like I'm pushing it to do and mac and cheese. But I've ordered that at a restaurant before, so
that's within bounds. I think that's within bounds.
Yeah, two sides then, like a kind of a meat and two veggies kind of thought. Okay, I'm understanding. It's ready instantly, you said?
Yep, instantly, freshly prepared. So it's not like it tastes like it was microwave reheated. It's just like the best chef making this item just made it for you.
Can I share it with people? Like, is the portion?
Yeah, once you type in the code and it goes bing and you open the door, it's there steaming and perfectly prepared.
It's mine to choose to freeze for tomorrow if I want. Sure. If I don't feel like it today. I can do
it. You can freeze
real
it.
Food. It doesn't last any longer than normal food long. It is like it is okay. I could sell it if I wanted to.
You could sell it if you wanted to. Like, yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. And it tastes.
Oh, it,
like I want it to. Like,
yeah, it tastes amazing. Yeah, it's the best version of whatever item it is. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
All right. So that's your first. But again, before you commit to this or any of the others, you have to decide what that meal is. So, because that.
Oh, okay. That's actually interesting because I was going two different directions. One is like, you know, I could do some sort of caviar and sell it, or I could go with a favorite meal and also, like one version of this is like, what's the term flavor fatigue? What has low flavor fatigue? Like if I were my desert island nutrient thing would be like, I mean, I could eat pizza every day for that's probably the food I could eat every day for the longest amount of time. Maybe peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but maybe, does this include something like that? If I were wildly, it is magic. I could get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Of course,
like,
you could do a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I would not do that. I can clearly eliminate that. That would annoy. If I said that, that would hopefully annoy you.
It would annoy me.
Listening, like, are you kidding me? but it would be a great peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So I'm debating between the like low flavor fatigue, the delicious meal, and the money making prospect of some like, you know, steak, you know, surf and turf with, you know, a high end truffle this or that side with escargot and like whatever. Because the escargot, if I just said I want a bowl of escargot and I start packaging it and I could just do a little side deal, like because I don't know how much of an escargot is a lot. Not escargot. Well, that's snails, right?
Yeah.
What are you fish thinking? Fish eggs.
Caviar.
Fish it. Caviar, you know, a bowl of that too. I don't want to, like, something disappoints me. If you gave me this and said, yeah, it could be a little side hustle or you get a couple $100 a month or maybe even $1,000 a month. That's like really cool. But I have this magic, and instead of magic, I'm just gonna work a little bit and sell. And like that, there's something a little like, I could literally have my favorite burger of all time. And my mind, when I'm visualizing this exercise, I just keep thinking burger, delicious burger.
Oh yeah.
That's because I'm very hungry right now. And so I feel like we're in this space and time, like I wouldn't want to answer with a burger. I'm also thinking longevity, not only flavor fatigue, but health conscious. Like, what do I really want? Like, I could do something like a delicious salmon steak kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's sustainable. I could eat salmon every day and it'd be reasonably healthy.
You don't have to, don't have to eat it every day.
I don't have to. I'm just saying I could.
You could.
Like I would actually probably plan this out. Like, what's sustainable over a lifetime? Maybe like twice a week. If it's something with low flavor fatigue, is nutritious. So I might be want to play the long game. And then I'd, you know, figure out what to do. Because I'm obviously going to get the salmon every day. I'm pulling it out of the microwave. The question is, what am I doing with it? Like, you know, really, it's like imagine I just have, like, at work, like, a little raffle of, like, hey, I have this, you know, microwave, and I only eat twice a week. So that leaves, you know, five, by my estimation, 5 days of, like, salmon. So five plates a week someone can sign up for, and just, you know, good duty, here you go. It's weird that I'm tempted to go, like, you know, like, something like salmon and some, you know, delicious, like maybe like a
cheese dip,
well prepared Brussels sprouts and No, I'm just trying to either go like the healthy meal, cheese dip,
salmon and cheese dip.
That's weird. I guess like that doesn't feel like it honors the. That feels like just like a la carte items, and I'm trying to choose a meal. I still don't even know if I agree with myself. I'm just trying to be like careful, and my careful mind says you can't enjoy this too much. Salmon hits the balance of like it's tasty and it's nutritious and it's, you know, flavorful. It's also not cheap at all. So like if I want to like angle it toward some selling or something, that maybe that's a possibility. Because I can go get nachos, which is one of my favorite foods, when I want to. I can go get a burger when I want to. You go buy some salmon at the market, like it can be expensive, man.
It's not that expensive.
Yeah, it's more than chicken or.
I mean, it's like, more than chicken. I mean, it's like $8.99 a pound.
Maybe I go for something like cod or some expensive fish that's also nutritious. I don't know. Can you help? Can you wrestle with the question at the same time? Where do you go food wise?
I absolutely am picking the most enjoyable meal that I can. I'm picking a big, fat, juicy ribeye steak, perfectly cooked, with a steaming, buttery baked potato, and maybe some broccoli or. Which is what I normally eat with steak, but maybe I need to think grander, more grand, and instead of broccoli, pick some other fancy side.
Truffle mac and cheese or something like that is maybe not truffle.
I would do that maybe instead of the potato. I don't know, but yeah, it would be a big old delicious steak plus a couple of sides, because like I'm not gonna eat it every day. I could. And there have been weeks where I've eaten steak 5 days a week. I could do that, but that's what
this
I would.
This is where our palates are different. You love steak more than I do. Your flavor fatigue on steak is higher than it is for me. Like, I eat a steak. I do occasionally crave steak, and I have it, and then, like, I can go. Like, I eat red meat frequently, but I don't. I mean, I have a steak, like, once a month maybe, and but for you this is like top tier food. It's this big slab of expensive meat, like everything's this is an easy decision for you.
Yeah, if I'm eating if I get so much enjoyment out of a nice good steak meal, and every time I'm opening that microwave I'm gonna be really happy. I'm gonna be like, oh, here it is, time for my delicious steak meal, the best food that I can imagine. And if I want healthy food, I can do that without a magic mic, you know, like I can do that at any time, and that's
maybe
easy.
Maybe the Wagyu beef steak or something like that, and then The reason is, like, man, I would start looking up recipes for steak. Maybe I'd have steak nachos and steak.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. An idea.
Steak is very versatile.
An idea is that you could do the burger and just do it
grind it
plain.
Up myself,
yeah. Well, you could just do it plain in the microwave and then add whatever variety of toppings to it you want.
Well, steak goes even further than that. If I really, like, I go grind it and make it. Well, it's already cooked, I guess. That's tough. But, like, you can shave steak
for
a Philly cheesesteak or
a
sandwich, or and you can just put it on pasta and various things. I actually, man, yeah, but I would probably I've never had Wagyu beef.
It's just really fatty,
melty. It's so marbled, right? Yeah. That's the idea. Like, I might not even like it as much as say
filet. You would like it,
but you think okay. Well, then I might go that direction, but just a high end.
That's what I would do.
I would not do the ribeye.
With some ketchup, a nice saucer of ketchup.
Yeah,
that's what I would do.
I do like steak with ketchup. You've convinced me with the acidity.
That's exactly right. Classy people. Classy people
understand.
Eat ketchup on their steak, and all of you haters. Don't understand. It's not trashy to eat ketchup on steak anymore. That is so, like, early 1900s.
Yeah.
It's current year, for goodness sake.
You can put butter on. You can have all sorts of different things to. Yeah. I mean, lobster tail would be nice to add to it.
Maybe I would do that. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Topped steak.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that.
I would go big with that. A steak, delicious Wagyu. ribeye, steak, beautifully marbled. Don't forget the ketchup. We got to have a couple of sides in there. And maybe
really big into this ketchup, as if you can't go buy some Heinz for like maybe a $3.
It would be some gourmet ketchup.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be Heinz. It wouldn't be normal, boring Heinz.
Chipotle ketchup. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be something special.
Fancy restaurants have gotten where they like, or even these pub places are just like, yeah, we make our ketchup in house. But I'll be honest, it's like not as good to me. Whatever. Actually steak, get the versatility of it, and dang, I feel a little boring, but I'm gonna do it. Go with a giant slab of steak, and I think I would do some sort of surf and turf with lobster and
might as well
pasta side mac and cheese type
thing. A glass of wine
with crunch bright a glass of wine. No, I really don't care about liquids enough. Water's fine.
All right. Well, that's your first option. And then the competing superpower that you can choose instead of this one is called the Garbage Dan.
Okay.
And for this one, when throwing something into a garbage can or dumpster, you always have perfect accuracy from any distance within your capability to throw. So as far, however far away you can throw, I don't know how far you can throw, like maybe 100 feet. you can be that far away and it doesn't even matter. You have perfect accuracy as long as you're throwing some trash into a trash can.
Garbage Day.
Garbage Day. That was almost the title for it.
My knee jerk before I explore it, because I'll get creative, is that's not as good. Like, listen, to rank them the same.
It's pretty cool, though.
I'm questioning your scale here to consider like your whatever meal you want once a day, or when you throw away stuff, you're accurate. Okay.
Come on, man, that's pretty cool.
Let me ask you this: I've shaved my pubes and I put them all in my hand, and I go and I like toss these. Do they also land in the trash can completely accurately? All the scattered, I've collected all my shavings and ready to throw them away, and they just they go in the trash can accurately.
You don't break the laws of physics to do this, so you know you'd have to be near enough for it to physically go into the trash within your capability to throw, really. So as far as you could throw pubes,
okay. Even if I'm just leaning over. And I like they all drop go in. Them in. Yeah. They all go in.
Yes.
So they're not behaving differently, other than they are not scattered about. So like if I blew them out of my hand, they'd go in. You know, that might not be a throw.
Yeah, it's not a throw. We're really digging in where I didn't think we would dig in, but but yeah.
I was actually just trying to think of like particles, like sand or something. I toss.
You can throw sand. So,
because it would just be impressive from across the room, you can kind of toss a handful of sand, and it like obviously wouldn't all go in the trash can, but in this case, it 100% does. Like, and it like would look pretty remarkable.
Yes.
So that's where my brain went, man. I don't know, because I'm trying to think creatively about why this is convenient. I mean, I imagine there are times when my hands
you don't
are
have to
really
get up,
cool, and I wish I could just
you don't have to get up. You can be sitting on your couch and be like, ugh, and then you can just. Roink. You could, I think, what did the kids say? Yeet your trash, and it would go right into the trash
yeet
can.
My pubes into the
trash. Just let me yeet these pubes.
I don't know why I went with pubes. I know. I just was like, I was gonna say armpit.
You really shocked me. I wasn't expecting
Well, I didn't
want
to do shave. They didn't. My face hairs weren't, you know, long enough to be as interesting. Uh-huh. That's really funny to me. I don't think this is that cool.
It's
I don't
pretty
know
cool.
if it resonates a little. It's pretty cool to you and not to me. Sorry if that disappoints you. I'm just thinking, okay, I'm sitting down. I do. Okay, something I hate, and I don't know if this will like potentially inspire you for superpowers in the future, but I really, at the end of an evening, like, Danielle and I were tired. We ate our food. I had a nice meal. And now there's just cleanup. And that cleanup is pretty tough sometimes in terms of just like, I don't, you know, that kind of irrational relationship with it. Like, it's not that hard to clean up a few plates, a tray, you know, mm-hmm. any like, but think about it. Like, we've plated food. There's multiple cutlery. You got napkins, like sometimes a tray, or most of the time a tray, because I brought it over, some sauces to put back in the fridge, whether it's your mayo or your ranch or your whatever, any seasonings we've added. It's just like a thing. It's like a, and then if you want to put it in the dishwasher, you got to kind of rinse them. And I don't just like throw them in the dishwasher all dirty with caked on like sauces. So anyway, that's not really about this, but there is trash involved frequently, but it's usually like a napkin or two, so that doesn't really help here. I'm just exploring other ways it helps relieve some sense of, you know, like, it's a parlor trick too, right? Like, I sure. go, watch this. Is it one trash can or any trash can?
Any trash can or dumpster. Yeah, any garbage can or dumpster.
And so I can do goofy, like, throw it over my shoulder, oh, yeah. blind looks. It can be like, as long as it's able to be, like, it could be out of view, but still accessible, and it would work.
Yep. It could be a paper airplane that you throw like a really long way, and it turns and loops and does yeah. crazy stuff, and it goes into the trash can.
I could go viral on the internet with this sort of like, you know,
think about in the classroom. Think about in the classroom how cool you'd be. Like, right now you're probably a pretty lame teacher, but think about how cool you would be if you could just, without even acknowledging it, you know, take a student's bad essay and crumple it up and throw it over your shoulder, bounce it off the wall and straight into the trash can, and then just get on with the lesson. Open your
everyone gets an A if I miss. And
everyone know. Open your dictionaries to letter M, and you know, then just can continue on with the lesson.
Yes, in stride. Very funny. Yeah, but I like that everyone gets an A if I miss, or and like I never miss, right? Or like I do just wild stuff, and they just can't believe it. Like that degree of reputational, like credit, like street cred.
Yeah,
like I'm the
garbage baddest. Dan.
I'm the garbage Dan.
All right, so those are the two superpowers that are very tempting to you, I'm sure. But if you want one of those two, then you have to choose one of these two drawbacks. The first one is called the Daily Daniel. And in this one, every day in one major newspaper, an article is written about you, but the article's tone is somewhat salacious, and it's usually about some trivial or slightly negative event that's happened to you. And the columnist of this article has an uncanny ability to know things that he shouldn't be able to know. So, for example, there may be an article about how you forgot milk and had to make a second trip to the grocery store. The headline for which might be, "Delivery delayed? Daniel doubles downtime for dairy." And then it'll be a short article about how, you know, you made this kind of silly mistake. Or it could be about how today you had a two-flush poop, and the headline for that one might be, "Dropping a deuce? Daniel's double flusher in the faculty bathroom." Something like that. And it's in a major newspaper every day.
Just like these like exploitative headlines of like tiny missteps or perceived missteps or... Yes. Just constantly slightly critical articles about yes, me.
Yes, right. Nothing too bad. Like, it's not going to be anything that's going to, you know, totally ruin your reputation. And it's not going to be anything too deeply personal. But it's always going to be stuff of that caliber.
Like, if Danielle and I were to have a disagreement, would that possibly make the headlines? Are they knowing what's, like, in the home? Are you saying anything... I don't know if that's a fair question.
Yeah, but like, conceivably, but it wouldn't be like Daniel and Danielle argue and like each other a like little less. It would be something like Daniel got so annoyed in this argument that he actually teared up a little, and the argument was about like putting laundry away or something, like something stupid. Yeah. Like it would be something.
Well, there's a privacy concern about, like, I don't want to, if they knew we were arguing over, I don't know, a political issue or something like that. Like my politics being out there seems more serious than that. And that's not the spirit of this.
No, that's not the spirit of this. It's, so, I mean,
it's not a privacy. Well, there is privacy concern.
Of course. There's that's the thing, is that it makes your life less private because you're being published in a major newspaper.
How interested is the general public in this, and like how do my colleagues and friends know about it? I think they'd inevitably discover it's same newspaper, or you said it a different one.
It can vary, but at least in one major newspaper. So maybe one day it's the New York Times, and one day it's the, I don't know, whatever other newspapers there are.
Washington Post
and the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. So, and it seems to be written kind of by the same person.
No, it can be a different, it can be different columns, but they always seem to know more than they should about you. And it's always got this slightly salacious kind of gossipy thing.
I'm intrigued by that idea of like, as a story.
I know. I thought you might kind of like this drawback.
Yeah, a person starts to discover this, and then they have to know who's writing these articles, and that's the quest, that's the story, is like, what do you do when you find this out? The ramifications are, like, this could get popular within my place of work, my students read it every day, it could, like, at first, if they just read it every day because they kind of like it, and they go, I know, it's this thing that kind of picks on you, and everyone would kind of get that it's picking on me. But I think it would actually potentially, if it's a well-written article with like just kind of an attitude against me, like the tone is just like, this guy's kind of a jerk, just, you know, snarky, and people read this every day, I do think it would creep into their psyche that, oh, there goes Daniel forgetting the milk. Of course he did. He's Daniel, you know. I think that would reputationally damage me if I were late for work or something. It's like, yeah, well, of course, because they just have this. Anyone who reads that, I think, would walk away with that over time. Mm-hmm. They chuckle at first, but it creates a narrative, like a sustained narrative every day. I could even see something like this weirdly catching on in the same way like the Truman Show. Like, just tune in to see how Daniel mildly messed up today. And there's like a following of fans that I have, which could be charming and also like difficult to process how that would feel. They're like, oh, hey, man, why don't you like wear something slightly ill-fitting for me today? Like, wear a picture, or like, you know, ask me to do the Daniel thing, and like, oh, why don't you throw up a lame peace sign or whatever, like, for our picture, or like just something that's everything slightly like, be kind of lame, Daniel, and I'm that mantra of like, be a little bit of a screw up, even if it's good natured ribbing, that being my like mark on the world, that's the narrative I'm leaving behind. That would be the, oh yeah, I remember that guy. He kind of was a doofus, kind of messed things up or something. I mean, I don't think it was any, seemed nice enough, I guess, but like just kind of couldn't do things right. And that is fairly
when you did that little impression right there, I don't know why, but I pictured David sitting at his dining room table with a newspaper in a very daddish way in one hand, reading the Daily Daniel, saying, like, oh, look what Daniel did today. Yeah. Oh, that Daniel. And then putting the newspaper to the side.
That Daniel. Yeah. Yeah. I think that might be strong. That might be I like this thought experiment, but I don't like it. Okay. The Daily Daniel.
All right. Well, that's the one that you could potentially choose. And the last one is called, uncreatively, Grammar Perfectionist. And so for this one, grammatically incorrect sentences that you utter cannot be heard by anyone but you. They can't read your lips. It's totally like you didn't say anything at all.
That might happen quite a bit. Are we talking about fragments too? I mean, stylistically?
Let's not go that far, because that gets, well, I don't know. I'm torn on fragments.
You say, what's your favorite food? And I say cheeseburger. You've heard me. It's not grammatically incorrect. Yes. Even though it's a...
Yeah, so. It doesn't have a... I mean, I guess I could make you say cheeseburgers are my favorite food, but that's a little too restrictive. That's not kind of what I intended, so...
It's more than a two, I think, you know? I would have to be very careful.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of how... still seems pretty low power.
How guilty am I of filler phrases? Does it actually negate the filler phrase, or this sentence altogether? So if I said...
If you say or that's not part of this.
Okay.
But if you say...
But if I said, I'm hungry. What happens there?
What's wrong with I am hungry?
Well, it's the I am hungry. It would be the repetition of I am. I say it three times.
Oh.
I just kind of stutter or haven't fully thought it out. But it's is it weird that my brain is going to these areas that it's immediately unexpected on your...
I would say... I'm just going to make the call that, you know, fragment, if you're answering in a fragment, like you said, like with cheeseburger, that's okay. That doesn't get filtered. But if you are doing repetitions or you modify a sentence in the middle and finish it, then yeah, that doesn't work. No one hears it.
Ending sentences with prepositions was recently recognized by, I think, Merriam-Webster as being grammatically okay.
Agree with them, but I don't like, I'm not happy about it for some reason. I don't like them changing the rules like that.
It's like about time. Those bastards, they suck for changing the rules though. I totally agree with them, but what are they doing?
I mean, come on, like have some standards, people.
Yeah, it was, well, I didn't realize people debated it. That particular convention, I guess, almost more than rule, or it became a convention, and then they finally just basically said it's a convention, not a rule, so you can do
lame.
It.
Lame. Well, this drawback will really kick your butt if you end a sentence in a preposition. It'll definitely not let anyone hear you. So.
Okay. Because I think I might do that.
I do that sometimes. I'm okay with speaking personally, ending a sentence with a preposition in some cases is okay. Splitting your infinitives, that's okay too.
Yes.
Sometimes not in this, when you're writing, you know, you use a comma when you really should have used the semicolon or made it two sentences or used a conjunction. I'm okay with that sometimes.
It would make me self-conscious, but there's also like potential room for improvement and clarity, you know?
You would learn pretty quick, I think.
I think so too. I think there's some rare times where I didn't realize I spoke with imperfections, and that could cause some severe miscommunication where I'm like, I know I communicated this to them, but this is... And then, interestingly, it might not be the fact that I'm silenced, but it might be the fact that I check for understanding more frequently that might be more disruptive to communication. Like I've heard it said that with all the fake news and stuff out there, that it isn't like one of the detriments isn't the fake news itself, but it's our just doubt of credible things potentially.
That sounds like a good,
just kind of
like, sounds like a good thing. People need to be more skeptical.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But you're right, there can be, you know, it can go too far.
Drawbacks to just sort of dismiss what you don't like would be the thing. It's go, that's probably something I don't.
Right.
Like the inclination of that, or I disagree with it, therefore it could be fake news, and therefore I will just dismiss it.
Right.
Or I will exercise skepticism selectively. And so in this case, I imagine I'd be like, did that make sense? Did I clearly state that? Could you repeat that back to me to make sure everything
right.
is clear? That could get taxing and actually affect me. Those are interesting. Here's my knee-jerk response. I would take Magic Mike and Grammar Perfectionist, and I would take it.
All right. I like the decisiveness.
Yeah, I wanted to just throw that out there. We've dawdled through this, you know.
I think I I think I agree with you. I think I would take the same things. Magic Mike, I don't think is as good as maybe it sounds to, like, I acknowledge.
I guess when I'm hungry and you're asking me to talk about my favorite meal, right. Like, oh man, it's its own topic almost.
I mean, yeah. Obviously I'm choosing Magic Mike over Garbage Dan. You kind of threw out this criticism that maybe my power scale is wrong here on this one. But I think they're closer. I think, you know, maybe Garbage Dan is at like a 1.5 and Magic Mike is like a 2 point something. So, yeah, maybe there's a little distance between them. But I think they're still in the same number category. Magic Mike, like, I think the selling potential of it is nothing. Like, you know, like, you're not going to get significant amounts of money from selling a singular meal. Every day the same meal, like, how is that going to work? It's just not going to work. It's not going to be financially viable.
No one wants to buy that. No company wants to
meal. Right, it's just not good enough for that, which means that its only purpose is really it eases a tiny amount of your financial burden, like a really small amount, like some dollars. I mean, you could replace what would normally have been a $5 or $10 meal with, you know, what would have been $100 meal, but, you know, you can't monetize that. You're just getting a greater amount of enjoyment and nutrition potentially. But it's just kind of a nice to have. There is the flavor fatigue to consider. So, you know, you probably, even if you get this power, you probably won't use it every day for the rest of your life. So it's just a small boon of enjoyment in your life, which is something, but, you know, it's about a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. Garbage Dan, throwing stuff in the trash can, you could monetize this more than you could Magic Mike if you were really dedicated to it. You're probably not going to be that dedicated to it, but the potential is there, and it probably feels really good to just always sink that, you know, handful of pubes in the trash can.
The trick shot guys, I mean, there's whole, like,
I know,
people, right, dedicated to this, and you've, like, you could monetize it, I think.
You could monetize it, and even if you didn't, it would still feel pretty cool. You could have some, like, really cool moments, like if you're out at a bar it doesn't matter where you are. Like, if you're sitting at the table in your restaurant and you spy the trash can in the back open, you could just yeet something over there. I'm going to start using that word all the time now. And just go right in the trash can. Man, it would just be cool to do that. Not that cool, though. Still probably a 2 out of 10. And then Grammar Perfectionist. Yeah, it would probably catch me some, but it would be an improvement for me to speak in a grammatically correct manner always. So I would just learn how to do that naturally.
I also think you have control. I can, when we've talked often about these drawbacks, when I try to conceptualize this compounded, it's like the Daily Daniel, the psychological taxation, the reputational damage, there's a lot out of my control, and I don't know. I try to proceed cautiously, but with the Grammar Perfectionist, I feel like I can wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
I feel like there might be some moments of miscommunication because I was, you know, a sentence was omitted, but generally speaking, I think I have control enough, and I have confidence in myself enough to barrel forward with that.
I kind of have the same calculus. Like, actually, I think the Daily Daniel might be less damaging ultimately because these are trivial little articles. People are going to get, you know, they're, like, no one is seriously
boring, honestly.
Yeah, they are boring. No one is seriously going to just read them every day and then like you less. If any, the only people who are going to read them every day are going to be amused by them and they're going to have the attitude like, "Oh, Daniel forgot the milk. I've done that too." And, you know, they're going to kind of be able.
That's a funny point.
They're going to be able to relate in a way. Like, "Oh, Daniel, like, put on his blinker for left when he went right." Like, "Oh, gosh. Haven't we all?"
Let's say I was if I was fired from my job, would the article would still be like whatever minor transgression I occurred? Am I right?
That I don't think, not like, yeah, it wouldn't.
This isn't an expose of my intimate moment failures.
They wouldn't write an article about you being fired. Yeah, that's too big.
It would just be weirdly on the day I got fired, it would say Daniel left his zipper halfway down.
Yeah, right. It would be something like that.
That'd be the article. Yeah. Right. Food was on the crust on his mouth all day long, and he didn't notice.
Yes. Or something. Yeah, that's right.
It's like, I was fired, and they wrote about it. That could be weird, too, you know? Yeah. Finally become a published author, and I'm really proud, and it's like, you know, Daniel stubs his toe. Like, dang it.
Yeah, that's funny. How it would be. But like, I don't see that being really seriously damaging. I don't even know if I would read it. I probably wouldn't read it, because I would have to get all the newspapers.
Yeah, you could ignore it, or you could, yeah.
So
yeah, maybe I think it's not that bad.
Yeah, it's possible.
Still, some stuff out of control.
It is out of control, and that I sympathize with. So yeah, I think I ultimately agree with you. I would choose Magic Mike and get a nice big steak, and I would choose Grammar Perfectionist and modify my speech by like 10%.
Yeah. Do you think 10%?
I'm being.
okay. Like, no.
I'm not being serious. It would be a lot.
Not
more
at all.
Than that.
Not at all. Yeah, yeah, I like it. Well,
That's it. We really dragged that superpowers and drawbacks out pretty long. So, congrats to us.
Yeah. I didn't mean to really. Yeah,
no, just, well, we really.
I think it's just like conceptualizing food is half of it for me. You know, because it was a unique scenario to say, what would your Magic Mike food be? Because people always, you know,
do the desert
first thing
island.
People say is like. Yeah, Desert Island book. You know, that's different than just, you know, your favorite book. It's your Desert Island album or whatever, and they qualify what that means. It's like, oh, well, the Magic Mike wave meal is different than your favorite meal, even though it kind of ends up being something like that. So, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Dun it, dun it, dun it, dun
it, dun it, dun it.
Over.